Apologetics, Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at calm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. Hope you're all going to have a good time today listening. It's a nice Monday, and what a day. At any rate, hey, just if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I'm right here. Had a good discussion last night with some people in some chat room, I don't know, whatever it was. And I was on today a little bit, and they're Muslims attacking Christianity. I have no patience with them, so I just said, look, you attack me in the slightest, and I'm gone. And they go, as long as you do this, as long as you baby, and I went, I'm gone. And so, you know, I teach them that if they want to talk to me, they have to be respectful, because they're not. Anyway, so there you go. That was kind of interesting. So if you want to give me a call, like I said, 877-207-2276. Let's just jump on the phones. Jesse from Las Vegas, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Matt?
Oh, it's going. It's going. What do you got, man?
So I have two questions. My first question was, I'm new into Christianity. I grew up Catholic.
Okay.
But I never really had like kind of like a connection within the Catholic Church. I was almost just kind of like forced by my parents to kind of be there.
Okay.
The past couple of years, I kind of started attending on and off. You know, I go to a Christian church here locally in Vegas.
What kind of church is it? Because I want to know, make sure you're not jumping into a bad church. What's do you know the name of it is?
Yeah, it's called Central Church.
Las Vegas Central Church. All right. And Central Church, it's okay to be okay. It's okay to not be okay. I love that. That's a good. That's really good. It makes me feel welcome right there. So let's see. Okay, so go ahead. I'm looking to see what their staff is, if they have any women pastors or elders. So that's what I'm going to look at right now. But
so my thing is I've been in sales entrepreneurship for over 10 years, and I kind of like, I have a hard time like being consistent just because I'm really self-aware of the things that I do. So I feel like once I start going to Bible study more often, once I start going to church consistently, I'm more aware and I feel more guilty when I do sin, which makes, you know, kind of puts me in a bad mental place because I know I'm more aware and I feel more guilty towards those things. So sometimes I'll like not go to church or not do Bible study for a couple months because I have a hard time, you know, mm-hmm. facing the things that I know I shouldn't be doing, per se. And I feel like I've been kind of like on that cycle because, like, I kind of have that approach towards, like, fitness and sales and entrepreneurship. It's like, oh, I'm making this mistake and then I fix it. But I feel like this is just, like, a whole different challenge for me, you know. And yeah. I've been kind of like on that cycle.
Well, okay, let's talk about this because it's important. It looks like you have some remnants of Catholicism. The curse of Catholicism. It's really a bad religion. Okay, it is. And so, how do I say this? So if you are aware of your sin, and then you distance yourself from God or studies because you don't feel worthy, and then you wait until you're feeling worthy before you go back to Him, if that's what you're doing, then that's a sin. And the reason it's a sin, and I know because I used to do the same thing until one day the light went on. I went, oh my goodness. You know, I'd do something wrong, and I just didn't feel close to God. So I wouldn't pray for a few days. I wouldn't study the Bible for a few, because I wasn't worthy. And when I felt worthy, I'd come back and do that. And then one day I realized that was sin. And the reason it was because I was trying to make myself feel worthy to be in God's presence. And I'm not going to be worthy to be in His presence, and neither are you. That's why we have Jesus. And when we sin and we feel distant, we go to Jesus. When we don't feel worthy, we go to Jesus. When we are doing fine, we go to Jesus. When we're not doing fine, we go to Jesus. Don't stop yourself from going to a study. And if you've blown it and you feel guilty, well, good. I'm glad you feel guilty. I am. That's a sign of life in you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. But he doesn't want you to stop going to church and stop all that. He wants you to go there and get fed and be in the presence of the Lord and just, you know, picture him as, you know, sitting on two rocks back then, and you're talking to him and you tell him what you've done, and he just puts his arm around you and he just holds you. And then you say, well, I've done something worse. And he just says, yeah, I know. And he's still holding you. So that's what you have to have. Okay? That's what you have to have. And I don't know if that helps any, but... Okay?
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's what it is. Because you came out of Catholicism with its legalism, and you have to go to the priest, and you have to get the sacraments, and... get grace reinfused in your soul because of venial sin, and you have to do the penance, you have to do the indulgences, you know, all this idiocy. And so it's ingrained in you. And, you know, Jesus says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Matthew 11:28, he says that. So you need to trust in him. And I'm not, you know, pointing fingers at you, like, dude, you need to trust him. It's, man, I've been there. And even as someone as knowledgeable, if I could dare say that as me, you know, after studying all these decades, was guilty of that. I'm like, man, how could I have been so stupid? And so, you know, when I blow it, I talk to him anyway. I don't feel worthy. When I have my mistakes, let's just put them in generic terms, I go talk to him anyway. Even though I know I'm not worthy and certainly don't feel like it. Because he's always there. He'll never leave us or forsake us, okay? All right?
Right. No, that makes total sense. And I think part of it is also because I'm like, kind of like new in my faith. I could say I'm like a lukewarm Christian. So I think, you know, I just kind of have to, you know, have faith that, you know, my faith, you know, that it's going to grow as I keep, you know.
Oh, of course.
Reading the Bible more and being part of, you know, the groups and stuff.
Well, you see, there's a little something about people like you, all right, who feel this, who are aware of it, who struggle through it. It's a level of sensitivity that's a good thing to have. And it can be a problem on one hand, but a blessing on the other. And one of the blessings of it is you're going to be more empathetic to others and be better able to minister to them when God has trained you and as he's brought you through these things. So it's a good thing. Look at it that way. And it really is a good thing. Now I got a question. How did you find out about the radio show? Because you're in Vegas and we're not there.
I was scrolling through Rumble, like the Rumble live streams, and okay. I've seen it on there.
All right. Okay. So have you been to my website?
No, I actually just started listening to your show on Friday.
Okay.
About an hour ago.
Okay. Well, I'd like you to check out my website, okay? I've been working on it in October, it'll be 28 years. It's got 5,000 articles on it, and I write theology and devotions, and we have other people helping. And it's just a lot there, and I'm autistic, so it's a deficit, but in this case, it's an advantage, because I write just to the point. I just get right to the point when I write, not these long things. What does it say? Here's the answer. That kind of thing. So, I know, okay. Check it out, carm.org, carm.org, carm.org.
Okay. Right. Will do. I sure will check it out.
All right. Yeah, check it out. And let me know. There's a lot of information about Catholicism. I need to write a whole section on what it means to heal from spiritual abuse, like the Catholic Church, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and things like that. It's another thing I got to do. Okay. Does that help, man?
Sounds good. I definitely appreciate it, Matt.
Hey, sure, Matt. Call anytime. Seriously, just call. And see what you know. Just let me know. All right.
Of course. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless. Okay. Well, that's cool. Pray for Jesse that the enemy won't hinder him. And pray that that the Lord will bless him greatly, because he needs that. And, you know, that's a good thing. So there you go. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Juanita. There we go. From Michigan, I think. Welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Matt. Thank you. Yeah, I agree in prayer with you for Jesse from Las Vegas. I think one of the things, myself being raised in Catholicism, and I can look back on it, and, you know, guilt is certainly in the playbook of Satan, and it's one of the things I think that they really promote. And it made me think of the Lord's Prayer. I think all we need to do is to ask for forgiveness. You know, it says, forgive us our trespasses, and if we ask forgiveness. But the rest of it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so I think if we pray the Lord's Prayer, we can kind of get ourselves straight. But what I'm calling about, Matt, is last time I talked, or one time I talked, or I heard you had mentioned you were working on a paper or a presentation. I'm a non-Trinitarian. I don't know if you remember me from Michigan, but you were working on a paper or a presentation, and that I was helping you with it. I was wondering if it's completed, or what it's about, or when it'll be available, or do you need more material? what was that all about? If you can share.
Yeah, it's you were helping. You're helping in the fact of you're a Unitarian and a non-Christian.
No, not a Unitarian, a non-Trinitarian. I'm not a Unitarian.
Okay, then let me ask you, do you believe Jesus Christ is God in flesh?
No.
Okay, then you're not a Christian.
Jesus Christ is the Word of God that became flesh. That's what the Scripture says.
Well, that doesn't make sense to say that, and I'll tell you why. Because it's the Word was God. So if was the Word impersonal or personal before it became flesh? I'll show you why.
Would you look that up in your John 1:1? I'm curious what your interlinear says.
I just asked you a question. So was the Word that became flesh, was it impersonal before it became flesh, or was it impersonal or personal? Which one was it? Was it self-aware or just like a force?
What the Word, it was, I don't think that the Word was a force. I'm not really sure what the Word was before the incarnation. I don't think any of us really know for sure.
Yes, we do. So here's a problem, okay, with your position, all right? When we asked the question, was the Word personal or impersonal? If the Word itself is personal, then we have the basis of Jesus being God in flesh. If you say that the Word is impersonal, because there's only two options, personal or impersonal, either one, that's all. There's no third option. If it's impersonal, you have a problem, because it says the Word was God. It doesn't say that. Let me explain. Okay. Because if it was God, then the impersonal was God. That doesn't make sense. So it has to be that it was personal. So we'll get back to this after the break. Okay. Hold on. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. Hopefully, this will be interesting. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, just dial 877-207-2276. All right, Juanita, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. So now you've changed your mind that now the Word was personal?
Well, without knowing your definition of personal, I had to choose one, so I chose personal, because you know, Jesus refers to himself before his incarnation. He said, "The glory I had with you before the world began," and so because I had to choose one, and without knowing, may I ask your definition of personal and impersonal?
Sure. A person has self-awareness, awareness of others, can think, can love, things like that, has a will.
Okay. Self-awareness. Yeah. I would, okay. not knowing before his incarnation that other than what he was the Word of God, and through him the worlds were created. But he does make reference to himself before his incarnation. So I would have to say personal.
Okay, then it says that the Word, that's Jesus beforehand, was God. So he's God.
No.
Yes, that's what it says.
Not really.
In the beginning was the Word. You say that's the personal pre-incarnate Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Well, I asked you if you would look that up in your inner linear for
me. Look what up?
Because I'm curious what your inner linear says.
Well, I can read it to you. I can pronounce the Greek for you if you want, and read it to you and translate it.
Right, if you would read it from your inner linear.
Sure, it says, in halagos, in beginning was the Word, in arche en halagos. Okay, now I'll read the second section. It says, and the Word was God. That's kai halagos en prostanteon. And the Word, kai halagos, ein was, pros with, and then it says tantheon, the God, literally. And then it says the second part, and the Word, kai halagos, ein theos, and the Word was God.
Mm-hmm. And my inner linear says, and God was the Word. You had asked me about that before, and I get that from Zondervan. So I have a little bit of a question mark about John 1:1.
But I'm looking at the Greek, okay?
And, well, I'm looking at the Greek, too.
Well, I'm looking at it in the USB S5, and God. This one says, and God was the Word. That's fine. And the Septuagint Elegy, that says God
and
was
God
the Word.
And God was the Word. Right.
That's no problem.
So we've got a couple. Okay. We have two that say, and God was the Word. So what I have a problem with is that it says God is light. You know, we can't say light is God. We can't turn it around. Okay. So if it says, and God was the Word, what English rule or what rule says that we can turn that and say the Word was God? If it says God was the Word, I have a problem with it being changed to the Word was God when it says God is the Word. So I think we have to kind of shelf that one, as far as I'm concerned.
Hold on a sec. Look. What it says, and it says in the English, the Word was God, has to do with what's called the nominative and then the predicate nominative and various things like this. And that's why the translators do it that way, and the Word was God. In the Greek, you can say the God was Word. That's fine. Because it literally says, in the Greek, it says, and the Word was God. And that's what it was saying. I'm looking at it. When I go to different ones in the Greek, it says, and God was the Word. And I'm looking at the Greek, okay? And there's another one. USB S5, the SBL GNT, both say Theos en halagos, God was the Word. So it doesn't make any difference because both are what's called the nominative. Nominative is the subject. So it's the subject, nominative. They have nominative, genitive, dative, and accusative. Nominative is a subject, genitive, so is position, dative is the indirect object, and accusative is the direct object. So what these both are the nominative case. And so the translators do.
A predicate nominative cannot, in relation when we're talking about God, cannot be inverted. When we say, you know, because we're talking about God here, okay?
Why does every translation say, and the Word was God? I'll tell you why.
You just told me, you just read one that said God was the Word. And I have the Zondervan parallel New Testament in Greek and English, which says God was the Word. And I'm sure if we search longer, we'll find a couple other ones that do. Now, Trinitarianism
Let me
is
explain.
Very perverse.
Hold on.
So.
Stop for a second, please. Okay. I'm trying to correct you, and you're not willing to be corrected. I'm going to explain to you why it's done that way. I'm going to explain it to you. It says, and I'm looking straight at the Greek now, no interlinear. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, this is now it, the Word is in the nominative. It's now taking the place of the subject. The Word was with God, and that's, it says God was the Word. You can do it, God was the Word, but you can also do it as the Word was God because of its nominative sense that's used in the previous section of the verse. That's why it says the Word
They're
was with
in
God.
The
that's the
case,
top, that's
man.
The subject. The Word was
They're
with God.
They're both in the nominative case. To have it in the chapter.
Yeah, I got
changed.
An idea. How
like
much
I
Greek
said,
have you had?
Me,
how much Greek? How much Greek have you studied?
I went to St. John's Seminary here in Plymouth,
broke
Michigan.
Up. How much Greek have you had?
Can I get back to my...
yes, after you answered the question. How much Greek have you had?
What if I said years and years? Does it make any difference to what we're
then
talking
about Then I would test it.
Here?
Can you parse a me?
Listen.
This is one of the first things you learn
the
in Greek,
Holy Spirit,
in beginning Greek,
listen,
so you don't know.
Man,
all right. So
like
if it says, let's go
question.
With your ways. I'm going to show you something. If it says God was the Word, then is it the case that God was the Word?
Yes.
Well, then the Word became flesh.
Yes.
Then God
the
was
word
the Word.
God
the Word,
flesh.
Which is God, became flesh. Jesus is God in flesh.
No. Jesus
yes.
is the Word of God in flesh.
No, you said the Word is personal, and the Bible says the Word was with God, and it says God was the Word, which means he's personal. Okay, you want to go with God as the Word? I'll
and
work
God's
with it.
Word, and God's Word
okay.
became flesh. God
Juanita,
didn't become flesh.
Juanita,
the Word
Juanita,
of God became flesh.
Juanita.
That's what the Bible says.
No, it's not.
Will you answer my question?
You're not teaching the truth because you're a false teacher. You're a false convert.
Okay, I'm not trying to teach anything. You're provoking
yes,
me
you
into
are.
This. I didn't want to. I called
What's
with
your question?
A question. My question is
There's the
that you said you were
sorry.
Working on a paper.
Pardon? I don't have that ready. We have a break. Hold on. Okay, I'm sorry. It's bad timing.
Okay.
Hey, folks, we'll be right back after this break. You know, unbelievers are so hard to get through to. It's like this all the time with all of them. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back with Juanita. Go ahead, Juanita. You're on the air.
Okay, so you said you were working on it with a paper or presentation or something. I was wondering, I think you just quickly said it wasn't completed, or could you share what it's about or when it'll be available, or is it, do you need more material, like I said, or what can I expect?
I'm not sure what you're referring to exactly, but I'm always
well,
working
you
on
said
point.
You were. Okay. You said you were keeping a record on me and that I was feeding you materials for this next project that you were working on. And I was just wondering what it was or what form it's going to take or, you know, just what
yes.
it was about.
Yes. Yeah. I when I talk to people like you, no disrespect, man, but when I do, I have my notes open. Like my right now is open
mm-hmm.
because you called. Outlines.
We all do that.
Outlines on Unitarianism, and I have 33 pages of material, okay? Mm-hmm. And what I do is I collect information. I collect what the unbelievers say, and then I respond mm-hmm. to them in my notes, and I correct them in my notes. And so, for example, okay. the John 1:1 thing, and when you have a predicate nominative, and both are in the nominative case, the one with the definite article is a subject. So the Word was God is the proper translation. And see, it's just a basic note. Okay, that's how it should be. So, you know, I just put things like that in my notes. And then when I start to do my videos, which I'm prepping up to do some more video work, then I'll be putting things out like that, exposing the the errors that you and others put.
Mm-hmm. All right. You indicated one time that you would or could arrange for us to meet or talk to exchange ideas on a neutral platform. And I suggested the Disciples of Yahweh in Christ. I sent you my email address that you asked for, trinitytruthseekers@gmail.com. And I was wondering, you know, because I would really like to be on a platform where, you know, I'm not bullied or called names or have an opportunity to have
Hold on. You are not a Christian, and I will say that in any format. I'll just say you're not a Christian. If they penalize me for that, then we don't have a conversation. I mean, it's a fact.
You're coming to that conclusion because I'm a non-Trinitarian?
Because you deny that Jesus Christ is God in flesh. You are not a Christian.
Because I'm a non-Trinitarian, you say I'm not a Christian.
You don't understand. You don't understand what you're saying. You don't have to be a Trinitarian to be a Christian. People can be non-Trinitarian in their ignorance. When you said you're not a Trinitarian, I jumped immediately over to the deity of Christ. Because people cannot understand the Trinity and just not be in there denying it openly. I went straight over to about Jesus. You openly deny Jesus as God in flesh. Therefore, you are going to die in your sins. I want you to be alive in Christ.
If I can repeat, so what you're saying is, if you're a non-Trinitarian, you don't believe
that I'm saved.
Did you
not hear what I said? Did you not hear
what you said? No, it was confusing. No, you were confusing.
You didn't listen.
Could you simplify it a little bit?
Yes. I'll say it again, okay? If you deny Jesus is God in flesh, you're not a Christian. If you don't believe in the Trinity, it doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It could be the case that you just don't understand it. It's a certain possibility. So when I talk to people...
Okay, so there are two things then you're asking. So you're saying, number one, you can deny that Jesus is God in the flesh, which you are not saved. Or number two, you can just deny the Trinity, but you could be saved.
No. You're not hearing me. People who don't accept the Trinity are not necessarily not Christians. They may not understand it properly, and once taught, then they can become believers in it. But if you openly deny that Jesus is God in flesh, then you are not a Christian. I will die on that hill. You are not a Christian. I'm just telling you. And if we're having a discussion in some neutral format, and I say, no, you're not a Christian, and they say, you can't say that, I'll say, then I'm gone.
I'm not going to talk about it. I just want an opportunity to be able to, to really fairly interchange with you. So, no, I deny that Jesus is God in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. Now, and I appreciate your time. Thank you very much, Matt. Okay. You can get on with...
Re-email me, because I rebuilt my computer about 3-4 weeks ago. So re-email me this stuff with them. And if they don't treat me properly, you know, because I've been in many formats, and if they say, you are not allowed to say this or that or that, I go, I'm done. I just don't do it.
Oh, I don't mind. You're doing... If you were hurting my feelings, that would be my ego that you would be hurting. And first of all, consider the source and the lack of understanding, you know, between us. So it's trinitytruthseekers@gmail.com. I'm afraid I get maybe mixed up in all of your emails. You must get thousands, maybe, or something, I figured. So I just wanted to kind of give you a call back. I do appreciate your time and your patience with me. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Matt.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you later then. Okay. All right, pray for her. And yeah, I'll have a discussion with her. But she does not know what she's doing. And you know what's really interesting is more and more people are denying who Christ is. And Jesus said this would happen. He prophesied the apostasy. Wow. Anyway, let's get to Luke from Washington. Luke, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hi. I'm okay. How are you?
Good. So Acts chapter 17. Verse 27.
Acts 17:27. All right. That they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Yes? Yes? I'm sorry.
Sorry. These verses we think for free will, because we have a free will to accept Christ and reject Christ, they're using this word.
Okay,
so how
hard
do you
understand,
explain that?
Okay, I'm sorry, you're hard to understand, but what's your question? Go on, I'm sorry.
So this is a free will question.
Free will, what?
Free will question. Free will. Like 27, that they would seek God. So we have ability to seek God. And if perhaps they might grow up for him and find him.
Okay.
So that means we have a will, we can find him. We don't know. We have a free will. They people who believe in free will, they use this word to clarify their point. How do you explain that?
Well, we Calvinists believe in free will also. But what's the context? The context is Paul talking on Mars Hill. And he's talking to a bunch of unbelievers out there. And he's talking about the idol to an unknown God. He quotes a pagan philosopher. He's speaking on their level. And if you grope for God, you'll find him. He's just being generic, okay? Paul did write also that God has to grant that you believe. So he knows that because that's what he says in Philippians 1:29. So he's talking generically here because he knows the power of the word. He knows the power of the truth. And he knows that God's the sovereign king who's in control. And even though Paul, as brilliant and as magnificently understanding of God's theology, he didn't understand any more than most any brilliant scholar would understand how those things of God work behind the scenes. So what he's doing is simply speaking properly to a group of people. He's on the Areopagus. And he says, look, men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through, I see this altar to an unknown God. So now he starts talking about this. The God who made the world and all the things in it, the Lord in the heaven, the temples without hands. He's the one you're talking about here. The unknown God? Well, obviously, there's a problem in all kinds of respects because they have many gods. Why doesn't Paul say all those gods are false? What he does is he uses what they know in their circumstance according to their understanding and then uses it to point to the true and living God. And that's what he's doing. For those who would grope for God, they feel like they're groping for God. But he's pointing them to Jesus. He's not wasting the time with getting into a technical discussion about whether or not they're elect, non-elect, predestined, not predestined, whether they have free will, libertarian, or compatibilist, or what. He's simply giving out the message of truth. And those who have ears to hear will hear. That's what he's doing there. Okay.
So, like I said last time, is there any way you can come and the Indian room to explain this free will, Pelagianism, semi-Pelagianism?
Yes.
We start in the room tomorrow.
We had a break coming up. We had a break. But yes, we can. Hold on. We'll talk about it after the break, okay? Whew, man. Boy, breaks are coming in there. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with Luke. Luke, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, and I said before, this day you can come to our room. We started a new room. We're going to answer some of the questions they have.
Sure.
They were making fun and
You're hard to understand. It's frustrating to only get part of the words, trying to figure out what you're saying. It's very frequent that when you call, there's a connection problem. So, you know, wherever
when
it
are
is,
you
it,
available?
Wherever, hold on. Wherever it is that you, when you call, you have a good connection, just be there, okay? But I can do these things on Mondays and Tuesdays, and maybe Friday nights. So, if they're interested in doing a room where they know I'm going to come in and deal with them and do questions, they can set it up, and that's fine. And then I'll you know, we'd arrange it ahead of time, and I'll show up, okay?
So, are you available next week?
Yes, Monday, Tuesdays, and Fridays next week are open, okay?
What time?
Well, let's try 9 p.m. Eastern time, okay?
Okay.
All right.
So I back-channel you a new room. Are you able to see that room?
I don't understand the question. You back-channel me in my room. Can I see the room? You don't say what room it is. So, I see your back channel. When you give me links, it does not work because I don't use Clubhouse. I use Club Deck. The links go to the phone. This doesn't work. I need to know the room name. And then I search for it, and then I go in. Okay.
The room name is Reformed Apologist.
Okay, so that's what I would have to do. Go look for it at that time, okay? All right.
So I sent that information to Joanne.
Okay. So thanks for the information, okay? All right? All right?
And so we need to fix the date. I know the time, Monday.
Tell you what.
Friday.
You talk to them. See what day is good. Monday, Tuesday, or Friday. Okay. All right. You find out which one is good, where they will agree to meet, and they can answer their, ask their most difficult questions. Okay. All right.
So first of all, you need to teach them a class first about free will, Pelagianism, semi-Pelagianism.
I can't understand you. I can't understand you. Okay. So, it's always a problem we've had because my hearing isn't that good. Your accent's pretty thick and your connection goes in and out. And I miss one or two words, okay? So, back-channel me, and as long as it's all arranged, okay? And we'll work it out, all right? Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All right. Let's get on the phone with Eric from Charlotte. Eric, welcome.
All right, my brother from a different mother. I love you so much. We got the same father. We got
That's
the same.
Right.
Thank you so much for your ministry. Listen, there's a Anita always fascinates me when she calls, and I iron sharpens iron. And I would love for you to ask her a question. Mm-hmm. She sometimes has a disconnect. You clearly were saying to her, not being a Trinitarian does not make you a Christian, or it does not make you a non-Christian, rather. And for some reason, she got it, and then she lost it, and then you said, but denying Jesus is God does make you a non-Christian. And I wish she would pay close attention to your words, but she seems to jump back and forth in her logical thinking. She's really good. She's patient, calm, nice, but Anita, just check yourself. He's really trying to help you by telling you not being a Trinitarian does not make you a non-Christian. You can be a Christian without believing in or acknowledging or knowing the Trinity, but you cannot be a Christian if you're denying Jesus is God. Now, one thing, if you would...
But I've got to add something in. But if you continually reject the Trinity, then I wouldn't call you brother or sister in Christ. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. After knowing now, yes. Now, Anita is really distorting it. But here's a question, two things. Number one, if there's any way that you could, if you could just ask her, does she believe the Spirit of God is God? Okay. That's one question. I would love to see how she would respond to it. The second part, because the Holy Spirit is clearly God. But I have these book notes, and this may or may not help you. You can correct me if I'm wrong in categorizing these bookmarks the way I do. But one of the two bookmarks I want to share is the bookmarks which I label all aspects of God are God. Any aspect of God, anything that's of God and his nature, that's eternal, it is literally him in the same way.
Well, we've got to be careful. That's not necessarily the case. Okay, I've got to tell you. Because
what did you understand me to say?
The love of God, that love is not the same thing as God. It's an attribute of his essence and his nature. So the patience of God, for example, patience is not God. Patience is an action that emanates out of God. So you've got to be careful how you word that. But I know what you're getting at.
Sure.
But, okay.
Yes. Okay, well, if the scripture says God is love, now I'm not talking about patience. Let's stick with the word love. If the scripture, we're referring to who he is, his right, being is actually, it's a personal being that is also love. Yeah. Now, I know when we talk about the love of God, but there is also God is love, and I look at those as a distinction. Are you not seeing those as a slight distinction at all?
And then we get into some other tangents to get into about that stuff. You know, I know what you're asking, but it can get involved. Okay,
I understand that. I understand that. But part of the reason where I'm going, this is where I'm going with that. I tell people the sun is light. But there's more to the sun than light. The sun is heat, but there's more to the sun than just heat. You can't separate the sun from his light. You can't separate the sun from his heat. The heat and the light have been eternally with God.
I got you.
Yeah. So
but
that's what
the
I mean
problem
when
here,
I use that.
Yeah, okay. The problem here is then in discussions, it's the relationship between the essence and the properties or the emanation. In what degree is the emanation a representative of the essence? And then you have to get into degrees of interpretations of the relationship. And this is where the problem comes in. That's why I stay away from those.
Well, okay. but that's what we're at least trying to give a mindset to people of when they use this word Trinity, because they're not understanding that the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, they're God. But there's a distinction.
I understand.
So, but I'm saying, how is it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. I got it. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm trying to say, I never separate, when we talk about the Word, and she asked you earlier about a very critical verse a few weeks ago, and I wish you had dealt with her question, which is Psalm 33, verse 6. And it says, by the word of God, the heavens were made. The question could be asked, where is the word of God in the Old Testament? Because we know in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. That word was with God, but that word was also God. Well, in the Old Testament, the best word that I've seen that sort of correlates with this in the New Testament is the word dabar. And that word, if you look it up throughout the Old Testament, it's personal. That's telling me there is Jesus in the Old Testament as Word. And it's just as we see him as Word in the New Testament, we see him in the Old Testament. But that word, dabar, if you ever get a chance, look up these references in the Old Testament. It's an amazingly beautiful and consistent thing. There is Jesus, the Word of God, in the Old Testament. Because anything about God himself personally about God, is him when it speaks of the hand of God, the word of God, the power of God.
I got you, brother. Yeah. I got you. Trust me, I've debated this
so
many different ways.
So where's the error? Where's the error in what I just said, if you don't mind?
Well, it's not an issue of an error. I'm not saying that. That's right. But they have their ways of coming back. I like to do things that are more precise and more direct, and I have those. That they have trouble understanding. In fact, when I was debating a guy last week, who didn't believe in the Trinity and the deity, deity of Christ, and didn't believe in the Trinity, and I asked him some tough questions, and he was stumped, and but then he changed his view and stuff like that and tried to get around stuff. It's easy to beat them. And it's not that we're, you know, beating is the goal. Yeah. It's easier to defeat their arguments. That's yeah. it. But they just don't want to believe because they're given over to the lie. You know, like, Jesus is not God. Of course he is. I mean, the Bible clearly says it. And she's just denying it.
Yeah.
And others deny the Trinity. Even when, get this, just so you know, because I got a big kick out of it. I was talking to this guy. We're having this debate, and, you know, he was attacking the Trinity. And I had my Trinity chart up. And I even said, this is how the Trinity's arrived at. I actually said it. This is how. We went through it a little bit. I said, this is how it's done. And it, and the host left that up for 10 minutes. And about 5, 6, 7 minutes into our discussion, I said, so how is the Trinity arrived at? He goes, through philosophy. I said, and the answer's right there. Yeah. They just refuse to believe. They refuse. Because they're more committed to their ideology than they are to the truth.
Well, one thing is that that's true. They refuse because they're blinded by, of course, the enemy. But they, I believe there are some who are open to a change if they can get some sort of thing that would give them a slight bridge. And that's all I try to do for those whose hearts are sensitive to saying, okay, I'm willing to believe if you can prove it. And I said, well, God isn't limited to just, you know, he's not like, I'm not blasting, but he's not a one-trick pony. He has different ways to which his truth can come forth so that we can see it. But one thing, I'm trying to not take your time, but this is so important to me, and I've delayed for a long time to talk to you about this.
We got 1 minute, buddy.
So then, in that 1 minute, Christ is the wisdom of God. He is the power of God. He is the word of God. These are actual personal. They're not non-personal. It is him. And he is telling you, this is who I am. I am love. I am this. I am that. You can't distinguish what he calls himself from himself. It is him. And as long as he's been around, those aspects is the word I'm going to use for now. I can use another word. But those things are him. You can't separate those aspects that are truly personal of him from him any more than you can separate the light from the sun, the heat from the sun. It's the sun. There's a distinction.
Hey, brother, you're right, brother. But in logic, the relationship between the essence and the properties, if someone knows a little bit, then they can argue in circles, and it's hard to get them out. So, but you're on the right track, brother. You're on the right track.
Separate the property.
We gotta go. There's the music, brother. All right, there's the music, Eric. Well, God bless, brother. All right, man. Hey, folks, I hope you enjoyed the show. That was an interesting show for Monday. One person said, hey, great show for Manic Monday. I like it. Hey, may the Lord bless you by his grace. I'll be back on here tomorrow, and hopefully we'll talk to you then. Have a great evening. God bless.